Hi, I'm Matthew Crawley from The Golden Geese, and we're making you listen to us for a long time today, talking about the album Bird of the Year 2023.
This is your debut record, but I know you've all been in bands in the past. Could you run me through how you ended up working together and reflect on those early days of The Golden Geese?
Well, I had my previous band, The Conjurers. It sort of stopped playing. We didn't break up, not at all, but we just stopped playing. And so I was kind of floundering a little bit, just gently floundering without a band. And I love playing in bands. And Dave Taylor, who's also in Magic Factory and had been in a bunch of other bands on 1 to 12 Records, mentioned that he'd like to start a soul band. And I had been in a soul band prior to The Conjurers, and I missed doing it, and I kind of thought I'd like to really use my voice a bit more, because in The Conjurers I was doing lots of yelling and screaming, and you know, I loved it, it's cathartic, but you know, no one really wants to listen to it, and soul music's lovely and people like to listen to it, and I enjoyed it a lot. And then, so we thought, great, we'll start the soul band. And I talked to Gareth Shute, who is has been in the last two bands I've been in as well, playing bass, and said, Gary, you're in a new band. And then James Danzy, who is from the Sneaks originally, also Spring Break, Hang Loose, a bunch of other bands. He's Chabs from Chabs and Milky. He's a very clever and lovely man, and he's very funny and lots of fun to be around. And I asked him if he wanted to play the drums, and I don't know if this is all true, I can't remember who asked who, but for the sake of the interview, I'm the only one here, I can just tell the story however I want. Yeah, I was the genius that put it all together, you wouldn't believe it. And everyone said yes, and I remember we got together and talked about what we'd like to do, and we quickly did absolutely nothing like that. We quickly became a very silly rock band. We had a couple of songs with a bit of a soul feel to them. So Back Foot off the album is kind of from that era, and that's got a kind of slightly soul groove to it. But yeah, we kind of quickly started to realise we were more of a punk band than anything. I always call it comedy punk. I feel like that explains it, just in case people aren't expecting us to be as stupid as we are. But that's how we got together. I can't remember when we got together, and we just hung around and we started playing music. Thankfully, James had a recording studio and a practice space, so we took advantage of that and started meeting up. And we had this kind of idea that we would not say no to any idea. And so if someone was sitting around and made a stupid joke about like a dog riding an elephant, eating an ice cream, you know, like, then that's the next song you're going to make. And you don't, you know, you write it in one go, and often we would record them in one go. And we got to the point where we were writing a song, recording it as we went. I'd make a music video on my phone before the morning, and then we'd like pester Chris Cudby to post it, and then we'd put it up on Bandcamp. And that was us, that was how we released a single, and I'd email it to BFM and cross our fingers that they might play it. Do you want to solve a murder with me? I'm more than scared of planning one mystery. Got a band, got a band. Do you want to solve a murder with me? Go to bed and watch the TV. Do you want to solve a murder with me? I'm more than scared of planning one mystery. And I think for a long time we had this idea of ourselves as a band that kind of no one would ever like. So we kind of got there first and we put it out there. We've got a song called GGBB, which is Good Guy, Bad Band. And it's like we're saying it first so you don't have to. But, you know, it's actually been quite a surprise with the new album, Bird of the Year 2023. It's very nice that we actually put a bit of effort in with this one. We decided to take our time. I can't promise we spent any longer writing the songs, but we recorded them properly with James. And, yeah, took our time and decided to make some videos. And even with the latest song, we got someone else to make the video for us, so it was a first. And, yeah, it's been quite nice because for the first time people have been, like, saying they like it. And it's nice. Well, what do you get for the person with everything? They got a shiny gold pink karate classes and a diamond ring. They got a fancy silk collection and artisanal sauerkraut. S-A-M-Y-K-R-A-U-T. So let me take you to the mall and I'll show you what I'm talking about. W-E-S-T-F-I-E-L-D. It's customized. Yeah, it's customized. It's customised. I have to say, we called it Bird of the Year 2023 to cause a bit of an upset and to get attention, because there was no other way we were going to get attention than to annoy people from Bird of the Year. But as soon as we announced Bird of the Year 2023, Bird of the Year turned around and said, there's no Bird of the Year this year, it's Bird of the Century. And so, yeah, I feel a bit gutted that our... you know, cheeky little plan completely backfired, because there's no Bird of the Year this year. But on the flip side, now there is. Bird of the Year 2023 is the Golden Goose.
What is it? What is it? It's a customised mouse pad!
Yes, it's a mouse pad!
A customised mouse pad!
Yeah, the reason that we chose it to be at the start is because it felt like the idea of it was just us inviting everyone to the Goose Party. And it's kind of, the idea of the song is, it's like, I don't know, it's a very stupid song, but in my mind, it's like in the Hobbit, where Bilbo's opening the door and having a dinner party, and he keeps, there's like more and more dwarves coming to his dinner. He didn't expect it, but he lets them in and makes big dinner. And that's kind of, we had this kind of version of that, but with geese arriving. And this song was actually initially a different song, but I couldn't quite get my head around it as a melody. And so we changed it to Goose Party, just sort of actually, I think, while we were recording it. Just James and I were just having a go at doing some vocals, and we just thought, again, it was another case of just thinking something was funny, so we changed it. And we were like, well, we should just put heaps of geese in there. Like, the more geese there are, the more geese there are on this song. And so it seemed like a great idea to have this kind of very welcoming song that kind of introduces the nature of the band. And I feel it's a good melody as well. What I hadn't quite kind of thought about in advance was how annoying it might be for some people that there's just like this arguably catchy song just completely like overrun by doorbell sounds and goose honking. So on a number of occasions I've said to the guys in the band, like, I'm a bit worried that no one's going to listen to the album because they're going to be completely like driven mad by listening to this first song. And you know what, if that happens, too bad, eh?
Open up the door and let them in. Honk, honk, who's there? Two more friends. Open up the door and let them in. One, two, three, four, five. This dinner party's really come alive now. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. This is Golden Goose Party, now let's sing it.
To rewind a little bit, I also have in my life made kind of sad folk songs on my own, you know, like 3 in the morning kind of sad songs, and used to play them at the wine cellar and haven't done them for a long time, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, well, that's the real music that I make, and that's the real me. And I remember one time at a party where it was like everyone was playing music, and I played some songs, and Dominic Hoey came up to me, and he goes, what are you doing wasting your time with that comedy shit? Like, you just need to make this music. You know, you've got this beautiful voice. You should be making this music. Fuck all that other stuff. And so ever since then, I've had this kind of weird complex that, not his fault really, it's only reflecting what I truly felt, but I kind of had felt like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, all deflection and not my real personality, and, you know, the real me is hiding in there somewhere else, and disappointed in myself for not, you know, playing those songs instead, and just sort of yelling and having a silly time with the geese. But actually these days I think, you know, having fun is really important, and being silly is important, especially as you get a bit older. And we're all in our 40s and 50s in the band, and, you know, we make constant jokes in this band about, like, you know, giving it one more go before we give up. Well, we never will, but, you know, just sort of having fun and being silly. And then when we did Georgie Pie, Dominic came up to me at a night that we were doing, and he said, hey, your new song Georgie Pie, I think you finally nailed the mix of, you know, being genuine and having a good song and being a stupid comedy band. And I mean, it meant a lot, actually, weirdly, because it recontextualized it for me a wee bit, that I suddenly realized when we were putting Georgie Pie out, oh yeah, actually, this is a true story, and it is, you know, I dropped out of school to work at Georgie Pie, I did, and I came up and did a radio show at BFM, and that's like the story of my first year of being out of school. And then I was 17, living in the city, and worked at this weird Christian bookshop in Green Lane, and it just was a weird life, but it was kind of a good life. And then, kind of, at the very end of the song, there's this line that says, the end of the song is for my mum and dad. I know that story makes you so, so sad. And, you know, it is something that I had carried around for a long time, thinking dropping out of school to kind of pursue this life of music has turned out to be quite a good idea, but it didn't come without kind of feeling terrible about it and guilty and, like, you know, disappointing my family and all that kind of business. So I ended up talking to them about the song and said, oh, this is coming out, just so you know, I'm not harbouring these worries, but it is kind of a, you know, just in case you are, I don't know. And they were both, my mum and dad were both very completely fine about it. And yeah, it was good. And also important to note that the line in the song about working in the record store is about working at Storehouse Christian Books and Music, not at Flying Out, because I did really enjoy working at Flying Out, and the line in the song is sarcastic about quitting a record shop and kind of making fun of myself for working at a record shop in my 40s as well as when I was 17.
Back to head to sun. I'm never gonna go back to school.
I picked out Solve a Murder because I actually feel a bit bad that I haven't credited my girlfriend Rebecca as a co-writer on that song. For you single people out there, you're just not going to get it, I'm sorry. But, you know, like in the modern age, what you do is you pick a TV show, you go to bed and you watch it. And sometimes those things are Swedish murder mysteries and you binge watch these things. And it's like the line is, do you want to solve a murder with me? Go to bed and watch some TV. Do you want to solve a murder with me? A moody, scandy, pandy, noir mystery. Hard to sing and hard to say, but it's a song that we, like, it's kind of that, do you want to solve a murder with me, was a kind of like a silly song that we would sing at home about, like, watching some TV shows, about watching, like, some murder shows. And then I turned it into a song, and I quite like it. And James did this really funny thing in the middle where he put this kind of noir soundtrack on it, and then I did a kind of Columbo impression in the middle, and it was fun. I've always liked that kind of cliche of Columbo being like, one more thing. And when we play it live, I try and extend it out as long as I can, this kind of like accusing people in the audience of having committed the murder. And you know, my bandmates just love it. My bandmates, I think, love it. I go on and on and on in the middle of songs, and yeah, I think probably the longest I've dragged a song out is maybe about 15 minutes. But we don't do that on the album until the last song. More on that later.
Answering all my questions, and one more thing.
Was it the vicar?
Could it be?
Was it the mayor?
Could it be?
Was it the butler?
Could it be?
Was it
Punk Nuns? I don't know why I chose this song, because there's not a lot to say about it, other than I think it's fun. It's a really rad song, and it is a kind of good example of us just going, like, just being like, right, let's write a punk song. Okay, Dave and Gary and James have this great, amazing instinct with each other to just pick a couple of chords and run away with them, and it's sort of my job to put some ludicrous lyrics to it. And you know, Punk Nuns was this idea of just like, probably how this worked was that, what about a punk song and the punks are nuns? Oh yeah, good idea, dumb idea, let's do it. And then I write them on my phone while they're getting get Google Docs open. I've got this like never-ending Google Docs thing where I just write the lyrics while they're playing. I'm not trying to sound like Michael Stipe and like, you know, inspired by this kind of like thing, but it's just, you know, you've got to write something. So you just write some stupid stuff and those are the lyrics and then you go for it. And that's what I meant by, I guess, when talking about Georgie Pie. It was like the first time I realized that my real thoughts had snuck into the Golden Geese, or something I didn't expect would happen. So I'm curious to know how many of the other songs have got secret feelings in them. Song 95 BFM top 10 for me was when we've been playing live. You really know a song when you're playing it live, how well it's going to resonate with people. And that one felt like a real anthem. And I always remember like looking over at, you know, certain people and seeing this look on their face like, oh yeah, this is a good one. And us feeling like, oh, it was a good one, and kind of getting people to sing along. And is this kind of, there's something about this song that has this, especially for people who've been at it for a while. And, you know, post-COVID, I've had countless conversations with people who are, you know, I've been in the music, I'm not going to say industry, the music scene, the Karangahape, basically the Karangahape Road music scene for 20 years and, you know, running venues and stuff. And a lot of the people I knew then, I still know now, and we're all still trying to kind of figure it out. And I've had countless conversations with people about like, ah, oh, you know, what do you do now? Like, how do you get a song on the radio? Or how do you get people to like you? Or what do you do now? Because before, you know, there was a pretty short list of things you did, and then that was, your music was out and that was that. But, you know, it was kind of, the song is kind of my joke about me getting older and still doing music, and kind of the 95 BFM top 10 being this kind of glass ceiling, but this beautiful glass ceiling of greatest possible achievement. Before, for me, it was probably to go play in Australia. I think I've given up on that dream, and the new dream is to get on the 95 BFM top 10, to get to number one on the 95 BFM top 10.
Well, it comes a time in every man's life where you need a reality check. When you think you don't find your job on the line, you just can't get no respect. Once in a while, just might be nice to get a little love.
BFM Top 10. Matthew Crawley speaking. How can I help? Would you like to place your vote?
Yeah. Can I have one vote for Darcy Clay and one vote for Hugh and the New Zealanders? What's wrong with Huntley?
Ha ha! Wow, what a blast from the past. Any chance you'd like to vote for the Golden Geese?
The Golden Geese? No way!
Well, if we don't reach the top this time, well, we're never gonna try again. And if we don't get to number one, no, we're never gonna try again. On the 95, be a thrill, the 95.
A bit like, you know, we were talking about Punk Nuns and I was like, yeah, this is pretty immediate. I think Stick It to the Man is a song that I've never got sick of. We had this policy when we were playing that we would never play the same set twice when we played live. And so for a good while there we were playing five or six songs, and then the next time we played, we'd play a different five or six songs. And we also had this policy that we'd write a new song about whoever we were playing with or about the gig we were playing every time. So we always had these new songs. But Stick It to the Man was quite an early one. And it's kind of this parody of, yeah, fuck the man. You know, the man sucks. You know, there's a lot of generic talk about how the man sucks. And I thought, well, let's just make it official. So it's like, never identified who the man is in this song, and the things that we do to get back at the man are pretty minimal and pretty silly, but maybe it's like a self-parody about like kind of reactionary protesting where I'm like, yeah, no, let's no like, fuck the man, and then you're like, no, nah, I don't know, let's go McDonald's, I don't know. So this song is called Can't Stop Us Rockin' Forever, and when we recorded this, we were just like, well, I wonder how long we can play it for. And to us, like, most of our songs are like a minute or 2 minutes long. This song's, I think, only about 4 minutes long, but we thought in our minds it was like so long. It was like a Godspeed You Black Emperor song. It was like so long. And we asked a lot of our friends to record solos to go over the top of the solos that were already on there, and the idea was to just build this kind of giant wall of stupid noise. It's a pretty catchy song that kind of reminds me of The Who or something to begin with, and then it just sort of degenerates into this kind of ridiculous endless song of like Can't Stop Us Rocking Forever. And I think the idea of it was that when we wrote the song so we could play it live and just never stop playing it. We want to see how long we can play it before before people leave. I don't know. That was just an idea, but we didn't get that many people to solo over the top of it. But I think Gary plays the trombone on there. Big shout out to Eddie Castillo, plays a solo on there. But yeah, I mean, when you come and see us live, you'll really get the full rock experience. You will not be able to stop us rocking forever.
Say we're getting too old, but to them we say,
The one song I haven't mentioned is called Amazing James, and all I want to say about that is it's about Amazing James. James, who made the recorded the album, he's the drummer in the band. He's a friend. He's a great man. He's amazing. And that's where that song came from. James is amazing. And that's where we'll leave it. This is Matthew Crawley from The Golden Geese, and you've been listening to Totally Wired. Oh, do you want to use it? You're listening to Totally Wired. Hey, this is Matthew Crawley from The Golden Geese. Thank you so much for listening to Totally Wired. And also, thank you for voting for us on the 95BFM Top 10 and keeping us at number one for 17 weeks. You're amazing. Is that all right?
That's great.